Listen up, Survival Life is giving away free credit card knives, exclusively to our listeners. Visit FreeCovertKnife.com. Get your knife free. Just pay shipping and handling. It's a $29.95 value. FreeCovertKnife.com.
Big Brother. Mainstream media. Government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
We've got photos up on Infowars.com taken by astronauts of rockets and explosions. Photos that are taken from space, pretty chilling. Dr. Steve Pachinik's our guest. Your calls are coming up. Doc, finishing up with what's happening with Putin. I mean, I know that there were deals with Yeltsin for the so-called collapse of the Soviet Union. I know that there were deals with Putin early on. Then he went after a bunch of the oligarchs, European oligarchs and others. And my whole issue is I don't really see Russia trying to expand anywhere. And I don't want a unipolar world. I want to see sovereign nations out there operating off their trade. I don't like communist China. That's who I really see as being just nightmarishly oppressive. I get they've got a huge population, but I mean, are you endorsing the toppling of Putin and putting something else in?
Yes, I think it's time for Putin to leave, but I don't have to endorse anything. Basically, what's happening is Putin has spent 14 years in the Soviet and Russian unit. He was trained by Marcus Wolf. By the way, he was a Jewish spymaster who was appointed by Stalin and Marcus Wolf.
And he was the head of the Stasi.
He was head of Stasi, but also, you have to understand, Putin was really trained by Stasi in East Germany. That's why he and Merkel really get along very well. But Putin has no strategic sense, and he is becoming too counterproductive to really world trade. And what we're interested in, and quite frankly, America's not interested in war. We're interested in world trade. And as you said, China is expanding very quickly. They're expanding in the Indian Ocean, the Middle East, and Africa, and world trade. And we want to compete with that. And
hey, by the way, sometime I'll tell the whole audience a story. One time they said they wanted me on, like, Interfax, national Russian television. And when they punched up the Skype for the interview, the video feed, was this big, giant government hall and all these, like, obvious FSB people, but like the brain bugs, not like the knuckle draggers, all, like, interrogating me. It wasn't for TV, asking about you and why you came on my show. And I said, I don't know. But then they started getting real paranoid, thinking I was an agent or something. What do you want to say to them?
Oh, I don't want to say anything. I want to say, it means all the best to you. You know what you have to do. You take out Putin, and the rest is you want your money, and you want to be able to come to the United States. You want to be able to come to Switzerland and Europe. So get rid of Putin. That's it.
Well, that was a couple of years ago that happened, but it was really weird.
Yeah, it continued. Alex, it's always continuing. Russia, since Catherine the Great, has always been an internal turmoil. And remember, the Soviet Union was 122 countries. Russian Federation is 11 time zones right now. It is huge. And Putin can't control it. I mean, economically, it has to develop beyond oil and gas, and it can't.
But the Russians like a strong man. He makes them feel good. All the polls show that.
Well, that's up till now, until they get very hungry and they realize that they don't have the Germans coming in for technology. They don't have the American investments on technology to extract the oil out of the Barents Straits, and they don't have their access points out of the Crimea. Now, the one thing we did agree to when the takedown of the Soviet Union is that Crimea belongs to Russia. And we never argued over that point. And they knew that. The Russians know that. Unfortunately, we should never have ever made Crimea a point because that's their only exit point for their...
Well, no, it's meant to force them into a larger conflict.
That's correct. It was agitation propaganda. Rightfully or wrongfully, our CIA effectively created agitprop and economic warfare.
Well, here's the deal. I don't like the government agitpropping my guns, my property, or my children. And that's why I don't like people running this country. And that's why I just don't support anything they're up to.
Well, remember, we're a democracy and we were based on a revolution, Alex. That revolution is always innate in our genetic.
I agree. We should take the country back.
Well, we are taking it back. as I said to you, the devolution of power is negating the two parties. We don't need the Democrats and we don't need the Republicans. And for quite frankly, we don't need the president.
This has been one of our best talks. Thank you, Dr. Steve Pachinik. Hope you're having a nice week. StevePachinik.com.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. We'll talk to you again soon. All right, we got Professor Hamamoto coming up. And if the callers want to hold, I promise I'll get to you. Stay with us.
This alert just came in. This special announcement is for business owners and leaders of organizations who've been waiting for the right time to build. General Steel has made it impossible to wait any longer with rock-bottom prices that could save you thousands. That's right, General Steel, America's leader in pre-engineered structures, is offering buildings at prices you will never see again. Don't miss these prices. A 50 by 100 for $35,000. You heard right. That's 5,000 square feet for $35,000. Manufacturers, if you need a larger building, try a 100 by 100 commercial building for $129,000. You can't afford to rent with these prices. Imagine a 70 by 100 foot church building for under $69,000. With the economy improving and interest rates still at historic lows, you can't afford to wait. So call 866-91-STEEL. Lock in your price now. Call 866-91-STEEL. That's 866-917-8335.
A chemical spill contaminating the water supply in 9 West Virginia counties.
This year alone, over 300,000 people in West Virginia had their drinking water contaminated.
What are the health effects of having these drugs in our drinking water?
It's forced medical treatment without the consent of residents.
My friends, water filtration is one of the most basic actions you can take to protect you and your family from the harmful toxins and heavy metals in your tap water.
On average, the county says it sprays with glyphosate at least once a week.
Few filters cut out the glyphosate that is found in water supply worldwide. Remove pesticides, herbicides, chloramines, hydrofluorosilicic acid, sodium hexafluorosilicate.
Fluoride, it is in tea, it's in coffee, it's in waters and breads and toothpaste.
It is our responsibility to protect our families. The establishment's not going to do it. It's time to take action. It's time to filter our water. Visit InfoWarsStore.com and use promo code WATER to get 10% off their entire family of incredible products. Or call toll free 888-253-3139.
This is big!
Not just big, it's the Freeze Dry Guys Giant Factory Authorized Sale. This month, save 30 to 45% off on number 10 cans of high-quality Mountain House freeze-dried foods from the Freeze Dry Guy. Factory fresh stock just arrived, so now is the time to stock up with the finest, best-tasting, longest-proven shelf-life foods in the industry at giant savings of 30 to 45% off. But hurry, supplies are limited to only the stock we have on hand. Call 866-404-3663. Free shipping to the lower 48 states. Click freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-3663. That's freezedryguy.com. Hurry, the Giant Factory authorized Mountain House sale is going on now, only from the Freeze Dry Guy. The finest freeze-dried and dehydrated foods available anywhere for long-term storage.
We are on the march. The Empire is on the run. Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
I'm waiting in my cold cell when the bell begins to chime.
It's all how their sound is that night. That's an epic song right there. Running Low. We just had Dr. Steve Pachinik on with us. What a character. That guy has been involved in almost everything. And with him on the air with us, you get a specific bird's eye view into the larger geopolitical operations that are being carried out. And just, yes, the West runs Al-Qaeda, yes, and ISIS, and yes, they're breaking the country up of Iraq, and yes, we helped put Putin in with deals with the Soviet Union in the early 1990s, and now we've told him he has to go, and, you know, these three groups of the FSB know that's the thing to go, but the others don't, and I mean, that time, I was telling that story last hour, where I'd been on Russian TV probably, let's not exaggerate, 75 times, but I've been on Japanese TV probably 20, 30 times, British TV probably 40 times, you know, I've been on Canadian TV probably 30, 40 times. So I go on national TV if it's easy and quick. I don't go on Iranian TV because it's just a big hassle and I have time to do it, and they call me every day if I go on it. You know, they have that press TV thing. But this time they wanted me on national Russian TV, whatever the biggest channel was. It's a state-run one. And it goes to the Skype interview, and it wasn't an interview. I go, these aren't reporters. And it was all these obvious government people wanting to talk about Steve Pachinik with me. And I just, you know who he is. You know what he's done. Yeah, I get his view on things. Why does he talk to you? And they were asking me, you know, questions about him. And I said, look, I can't answer any questions about Steve Pachinik. And it was right after that, a bunch of stuff went on. But I tell you, they do not like Steve Pachinik. He's from Russia. He was like a Russian Jew that got grabbed. His family died in the concentration camps. He never even talks about that. But that's why he criticizes Israel. People should listen because he's such an interesting person and had a lot of tragedy in his life. So that's why we have him on the show. He's offered to come to town before if we don't show his face on air. But I don't think I want to get that deep into it. It'd be interesting to get him over here, though. I don't know why I'm going off into all that. The weirdness I've seen in 20 years of doing this show, it's just about 20 years now. In a few months, it'll be 20 years. I got to look up some of the history, but I think we should have like a celebration or something. 20 years of the InfoWar. To not celebrate my show or even me, but you know the fact that we've had 20 years on air and had this big of an effect, it's a testament to everybody else's power. And that's really my goal here, is to let you know historically through all cultures, but also now in this time that we live, that fortune favors the bold. And there is a tide in the affairs of men when taken at the flood leads on to fortune, to quote William Shakespeare's Julius Caesar, the Charlton Heston that I just watched again the other night. But the fortune I'm looking for is not a bigger house or not the fanciest car. Though I do want that new 700 horsepower Dodge Challenger Stingray, but so affordable for the price, beats Lamborghinis and Ferraris, folks. And it's like $55,000. But side issue, I'm sorry, I got to go to our guest, I apologize. The point here is that my brass ring is not money. It's not success. I've had plenty of time to learn to not like being a public figure. Any enjoyment of that has exited the building a long time ago. The narcissism has exited the building, and now, really, I just want the goal of empowering humanity. That's what thrills me, is teaching people things and learning things. I know that's what thrills people like Professor Hamamoto, who we're going to be talking to here in just a moment for the balance of the hour, and taking your phone calls. But long story short, what I'm getting at here is, you have power, you can affect change, you've just got to have the courage to do it. Because if a ragtag guy from Texas with no fancy, you know, college education and really not a lot of connections could effectively reach 20 million people a week in the burgeoning new media that grew in the last 20 years, what could you do? And that's what Professor Daryl Hamamoto talked about 2 or 3 weeks ago when he was on with us. Very popular guest. I enjoyed talking to him. Was that the revolution, the true renaissance is here, and it is a velvet revolution of ideas. And he's hitting the barbed wire early and has been, I know, persecuted some at the university. He had him threaten to cut his pay because he's been the head of the Asian American Studies. He's the senior ranking professor in the Department of Asian American Studies. I won't go over his whole bio again. He's taught at the University of California, Davis for most of his academic career. He holds undergraduate and graduate degrees in political science, popular culture studies, and comparative culture. Hamamoto is a senior ranking professor in the Department of Asian American Studies. He's a recognized authority in U.S. media. You see him on national television. popular culture and sexuality, having published extensively in these areas. He's a recipient of a Rockefeller Foundation Research Fellowship and is a Fulbright Scholar, Japan. His current project is a volume that outlines the principles of the New World Order theory and is directed in the current generation college university undergraduates in search of alternatives to the dominant foundation-guided corporatist curriculum. And so we have plenty of time with him. I'm going to skip this network break coming up. He's so polite, he'll pause constantly, and I'll rush in and take over like a wolf. But I want you to talk about whatever you want to first. Did you get any repercussions coming on? What do you make of all the stuff happening with Russia? What's your take on the border crisis expanding? Since you were on, it's confirmed, it's premeditated. Thank you for joining us, sir.
Thank you very much. All the reactions and responses that I've been receiving have been 100% positive.
Wow.
That's unusual. I assume that the university administration is not paying much attention at this point. They're narrowly focused on eviscerating what remains of public education. And once they've removed that, then the rest of the society will fall. And part of their strategy is this engineered border crisis that I will speak to today, hopefully, for your readers, for your viewers, nationally, internationally, add a little bit of insight, so far as academic research is concerned, to expand our critical lexicon here.
Go ahead.
Yeah, because it goes beyond the term Cloward, or the phrase Cloward and Piven is a shorthand for this sort of left progressive strategy of intensifying conflict so that the economic system, the culture, society will implode, will self-destruct. And of course, the objective here is to usher in some form of centralized corporatist government, socialist, if you will, government. This is classic Leninism, by the way, the notion that everything has to get worse before it gets better. This is the part that they leave out. So that's important. That's an important framework to understand. But I want to more specifically introduce another pair of ass clowns from academia by the name of Rosaldo and Ong. Rosaldo, Ong is spelled O-N-G. The Rosaldo element covers the Latino population of illegal aliens and the mass influx of population from Latin America. And the Ong component addresses the large influx of impoverished Asians, which are going to be the next phase of it. I don't know when that's going to happen. We're looking at Central American illegal aliens currently, but by and by there will be bringing in, that is the people who are orchestrating to bring in large numbers of people from the probably the Western regions, the politically unstable regions of China. So what has happened in the academic world is that these foundations, many of which you have identified over the years in your program, the Rockefellers, the Soros, more recently the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, have been pouring in lots of money to social science departments, humanities, and for the most part they own it lock, stock, and barrel. And they brought forth these two individuals. This person's name is Renato Rosaldo, formerly professor of anthropology at Stanford University in Palo Alto, right? This is Yale Skull and Bones West. Yeah, he was there. Now he's at NYU, New York University. He retired from Stanford. And what NYU does is they take retired professors from name brand prestigious institutions and they hire them and they start their second career there. And the other person is a little bit further up north. And that's sort of Silicon Information IT, Skull and Bones Bohemian Grove territory. Her name is Aiwa Ong. She's a Malaysian Chinese, Straits Chinese, Pranang Khan as they're referred to. She's also a professor of anthropology, but she is at UC Berkeley. Now, these two people, unbeknownst to the general American public, have articulated, they've redefined what citizenship is. Very clever. They've redefined it so that we have now two or three generations of university students, graduates and graduate students, professionals, people who are in public policy, attorneys, you name it, who have now been imbued with this this ideology that people like Rosaldo, and there are others as well, these are the two main people that I've identified, that Rosaldo and Ong have cultivated. All right. And remember, by the way, that Barama Mama, that's Barack Obama, I just kind of conflate his name to Barama. But Barama Mama, Stanley Ann Dunham, was also an anthropologist, was she not? She was a cultural anthropologist. She was trained as an anthropologist by the East-West Center, which has CIA connections, at the University of Hawaii. She was sent over to Indonesia to supposedly study indigenous cultures. And what happens is that research gets kicked up to the big boys, and they figure out how to go in there. They read the ethnological literature, and they can use that in order to destroy the indigenous culture so they can bring in their shock troops.
That's what they did. Right after she gave them the info, they engaged in a bunch of extermination. Yeah.
Absolutely. So you're already connecting the connections between the anthropological sciences, Rosaldo and Hong, and people like Dunham, who are more prominently
It'd be like
known.
Space aliens that they wanted to take over, putting humanoids in to blend in and study things before they attack.
Absolutely. You know, this I was reading Mongol history, culture, military strategy. They always had people, but they didn't just come in there and charge in their Mongol ponies. They always had people going into the local culture, asking questions, fitting in, trading with them, gaining intelligence, identifying their vulnerabilities, learning a little bit of their language, their culture, their folkways, and then taking it back to the Great Khan. And then they would come in and invade. So this is a really old pattern of strategy. And this is what's going on right now here in 2014. So what Rosaldo came up with is this notion of cultural citizenship. Cultural citizenship. Now, this is already beginning to destroy our common understanding of citizenship, which is black and white. Either you're a citizen or you're a non-citizen. And even further, this is a direct attack on the nation state. This is a direct attack and assault on this notion of national sovereignty. And as you spoke to it earlier in this very program, it's not really about borders. It's about national sovereignty. And to reiterate, to underscore what you said previously, why is national sovereignty important? Well, it is a firewall. It's a protection of Americans or any other nationalities against these global centralized banking families of ancient origins who want unipolar absolute power, whether it's orchestrated from the city of London, Geneva, one of their centers. And we're all going to suffer for it. I mean, if you think your government today is inaccessible, is not listening to you, and is distant, and you think you're alienated now, just try to appeal for a redress of grievance to a global centralized government. It's going to be impossible.
When there's no borders, no one can communicate with each other, and they have little racial and ethnic leaders that are part of the new Politburo under the corporations who are exempt offshore. It's the ultimate form of neo-feudalism.
Absolutely. Yes. We're going back to the feudal model, the high-tech techno-fascist, as a friend of mine, Doug Kellner at UCLA, called it, techno-fascist overlay in order to manage this, which makes it much more difficult to...
I want you to continue to break down how they're redefining things, who these people are, because it's important to actually see who these big foundations are funding and what their plan is. But after that, I just want to ask this now, but answer it now or later, because I don't want to interrupt you. But how do you communicate to people from Eastern Europe or people from Guatemala or people that grew up in dirt floor villages? How do you communicate with them this information when I'm talking to PhDs in sociology and they can't even understand it? It's all written in the globalist manuals. You've read them. You're smart. You get it. I've read them. I get it. But then it's so alien to the average person because they're not premeditatedly technocrats who see people as things to be programmed. I just don't know how. It's so simple, but it's also so complex.
Well, the average person and the audience that I'm trying to reach are undergraduates, either in the United States and the English-speaking world. These are the people that are going into the professions. These are the people who are the educators. And they have gone now through three or four generations, 4 or 5 years I count as a generation, of Rosaldo and Ong being programmed to accept this model of society and politics and government. They accept it. So what I'm trying to do is to identify the origins, the sources, and name names on who is responsible for this takeover in an academic culture. And these are two individuals of a larger complex that's heavily funded. I'm just using them as a shorthand. So once we educate these new generations of undergraduates and of course they accept it blindly. These are professors, and they have no frame of reference. So they just uncritically ingest everything that these people are saying.
They're like sponges. You're saying the answer is what you're doing. Be bold, you know, get threatened, but you're doing it. Go in and try to deprogram them, because you're not even telling them your view. You're saying, here's the man behind the curtain. Look, they're saying it. They're saying it. So I'm sorry to interrupt. Let's move on to the next person.
And there's a second part to it, which is what are the alternatives, which perhaps I can speak to at a later date. Maybe you can have me back on for a back-to-school special. I have a program that's going to rock the foundations of the University of California, because it's not enough to just diagnose the problem. We also have to come up with solutions. So, yes, going back to your analogy of the sponge, what I'm trying to do is squeeze out all the dreck out of a SpongeBob and fill that sponge up with important information, like this notion of cultural citizenship. And what does it really mean to be an American, Honduran, a Russian, as opposed to being someone who's a Spanish-speaking person who happens to live in the United States, who's going to be part of this massive welfare system or part of Section 8 housing?
I was about to say, under this globalism, this cultural Marxism, this cultural citizenship, you really are like a refugee worldwide and have no rights, and that's what they're saying. And so these people literally are setting the new model. And it's a borderless, landless vagabond who doesn't even know how to work the system.
They are, and of course they're oblivious to this, but these illegal aliens are really, really vulnerable. They're like a mobile weaponized shock troops here, and they're going to have to do the bidding of the people that are controlling them, which will be primarily Latinas now for the Central Americans. And
it's a slave army.
It's a slave army. It's the reserve army that Marx wrote about. The lumpen proletariat, as we refer to it, that is used historically to destabilize regimes. They're the ones that have the pitchforks and the torches, too. But in this case, it's being directed against the middle class. So I'm addressing the middle class, the educated middle class, the undergraduates of the University of California, the University of Texas, all the great public institutions. And from there, we will educate the larger public just by being in administration and in government and the field of law and medicine, you name it, because the medical profession.
Professor,
really
something just clicked. Yes. Normally what you cover gets a lot of attention, and obviously your interview here got a lot of attention in the alternative press, the new press, but they're smart. They threatened to cut your pay or fire you or whatever. You didn't back down. You're a well-known figure, respected. Now they realize that didn't work, so they're trying to ignore this and hope that, because I can, obviously you're ready to be persecuted, you're ready to use them coming after you, as you said last time, to bring more attention to this authoritarianism, so they're being smart. They're choosing to fight when they want to fight, and I would imagine that'll come somewhere down the road against you. They'll come sneaking in the night.
Mm-hmm. Well, my back-to-school special is going to flesh them out. They're not going to be able to ignore my back-to-school special, which I'm going to roll out in about another 2 or 3 weeks, maybe, you know, right around the time that everybody's going back to school. Right now, there's a vacuum, right? No one's paying attention that it's a summer break. But let me continue. That's the Rosaldo, cultural citizenship. I'd like your viewers, your listeners to ponder that term, his innovation, and the reward, of course. They're given status. They're given more grants. They're given prestigious academic posts. And they've been brought to Washington, D.C. to chit-chat with the political leaders and probably the intelligence community. So this was in 2003. It's relatively recent. This is why we're still talking about Cloward and Piven, when we should be talking about Rosaldo and Hong, right? Because, as it said, the generals are always fighting the last battle. This is the current battle. This is the battle that we're waging now is against the Rosaldo and Hong model, which is an extension of Cloward and Piven. Okay, let me move to Aihua Hong, who's another foreign-born intellectual. This is a model. They don't just cream and cultivate people from out of the country who are impoverished. They also like to cream intellectual labors like IT, information technology, computer technology. First it was Taiwan, then India, and now China. And the Silicon Valley people don't realize it yet, but they're also going to be looking for work, these engineers.
Stay there. Tell us about the other professor when we come back. Professor Hamamoto is our guest. Powerful information. And we're going to break down from an insider inside of it how this is working and the plan to bring in the North American Union and a planetary corporate-run fascist world government.
We're on the march. The Empire's on the run. Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
The Genesis Communications Network is one of America's premier broadcasters of captivating talk radio. We thank you for listening. Now, just imagine, there are thousands of people who are just as passionate about radio as you are. But what you may not realize is how easy and affordable it is to advertise with us. Radio commercials for your business could be heard on hundreds of radio stations across the U.S. every day. We can help you by creating an effective radio advertising campaign for your company. From script writing to producing your commercial, just like the one you're listening to right now. No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com and an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Hi, I'm Dr. Edward Grubb. It took me 20 years of searching the globe to find the deposit of the highest purity iodine available. The new Survival Shield X2 is mined from 7 to 10,000 feet below the earth in pristine, environmentally clean conditions. The iodine crystals we use are extracted from an ancient 300 million plus year old deposit deep in the earth. It's the strongest nascent iodine on the market today. It delivers 650 micrograms per drop. Experience the new formula. Experience the ancient purity. Shield your family. Survival Shield X2, available now at InfoWarsLife.com.
X2 from InfoWarsLife.com or call toll free 888-253-3139.
So we decided to upgrade the look of our home.
You know, improve the curb appeal.
We decided to add the look of stone to the exterior.
We really like the stacked stone look.
Yeah, but when I checked into the price, it was ridiculous. No way could we afford it.
Then a friend told me about Genstone. G-E-N-S-T-O-N-E.
Genstone comes in lightweight panels made of polyurethane. They've actually engineered the hassle out of installation. No mortar, no mesh. It was easy. Even I could do it.
We just screwed the panels to the wall and it looks like stone. I mean, it really looks like stone.
Yeah, from the box to the wall in minutes.
We love the look of our home now.
And Genstone is durable, comes with a 25-year warranty, and offers additional R-value for insulation.
If you want the look of stone at a price you can afford, call Genstone.
At 855-955-STONE. Trust me, you'll save money.
And you'll love the look.
855-955-STONE. That's 855-955-7866.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
It's so fascinating. I'm trying to not interrupt, but I am. I apologize. I'm Alex Jones, your host, Professor Daryl Hamamoto, who's one of the leaders and has been the head of the Department of Asian American Studies at UC Davis, and he's inside the system seeing all of this. And look, it's really very simple. And I know most of you know all this, but we have to reach out to middle-class people that can understand it, and to executives and to pastors and to cultural leaders, and explain. Look, there's a sophisticated cultural modeling control system developed by the empires in the last thousands of years. Julius Caesar wrote about it a lot, but really codified in the last 200 by the British Empire to administer and control countries along ethnic and religious balkanization lines. So to control that, they've artificially come in and put more of this in the name of political correctness, making it worse, selling it on the idea of equality of men. just like the Illuminati said they would push equality, but actually their secret was they would use that to get control and bring in inequality. So that's the name of the game, is they claim all this equality and fraternity of men and women, but when you look at what they do, they bring in dehumanization, dumbing down, deindustrialization, destabilization. And then, after they've cut your legs off, they give you crutches in Iraq or Libya, you name it, and say, see the favor we did. We burned your house down and then called a fire truck afterwards. So it is a very wicked management system, and it did not even get full power itself. The West had a little bit more freedom than other cultures, and in my view, and so it was able to produce more science and technology. That was then hijacked, leveraged by a technocracy, and we're now a couple hundred years into this, and now we're going into the endgame stages. And you can debate politics all day and the window dressing of the false spectrum discussions, but you've got to pull the curtain back and look at the real machinery behind it and a little man running it, or there's no beating it. And that's why there's a compulsion to say tinfoil hat, or you know, there's no world government, or there's no corruption, because they don't even want the debate to begin. There's no NSA watching you or listening. That's preposterous. Or, of course they're listening, and it's preposterous you don't like it. There's no police state. Okay, there is, but it's for your own good. This is a dehumanizing system. So I want to go back to Professor Daryl Hamamoto to be able to break this down and go over where he sees us going, finish up with, you know, recap the first professor at NYU, and then go to the other professor, because he's trying to introduce the term. We know about Cloward and Piven. That itself is just one popularized example of this thought of order out of chaos, this Leninist idea, destroy it, build it back up in their new image. So we're introducing the new current war, in his view, and I agree with him, what's currently happening, so we can identify it, educate others, be aware of it, and defeat it. They're trying to control the lexicon we use, a.k.a. INGSOC, right out of 1984, where we can't even communicate with each other. When you hear Michelle Obama say, don't use the word bossy, that's not some Kurt Vonnegut satire. That's real. And they want you to learn that everyday words are bad, and that you better only repeat what they say, and that's going to change day to day. As Karl Rove, bipartisan, told the New York Times, we control reality, we control the language, you will take whatever new reality we give you. We're talking about the end of free will, so I'm going to shut up. Professor, you've got the floor. Go ahead.
Yeah, so far as the First Lady boy is concerned, her scolding us for using the term bossy, I have a suggestion for her. How about Biachi? Would that be better for the First Lady boy? I don't know. But anyway, let me finish up with Rosaldo here with this notion of cultural citizenship. Part of this is to completely undermine this notion of national sovereignty. And the implication that is that if you are a Spanish-speaking person, or if you're part of the National Council of La Raza, if you're part of the race, La Raza, or you are part of the people, then you are a citizen. The borders be damned. You are a citizen. You belong here. It's your birthright, because you are part of this new reformulation of what citizenship is, cultural citizenship, quote unquote. 2003. It's important to understand the genesis of these terms, because they leak into everyday discourse, and they affect political policy. The second person I wanted to talk about, and she's handling the Asian end of it, because that's going to be coming down the pike very soon. Large numbers of politically unstable, economically underdeveloped areas in China being brought into the United States, and they can dictate that to the United States, because they own so much of our debt, and they want some sort of exchange. And one of the exchanges can be the exportation of political dissent to the United States, which is only going to compound the problem. And they have a ready-made front here. They have a whole two or three generations of educated middle-class people in the professions who have been reading the work and worshiping the intellectual superstar, because these are superstars. It's just like Hollywood. There's a star system in academia, believe it or not. We never hear about them, but there is one.
Sure, and then everyone else starts parroting what the superstar is,
exactly,
hoping they get a grant.
Right. They come from the elite institutions. They're the name brand marquee designer institutions. And every state university professor has to follow suit, or liberal arts colleges, you know, down to the community college level. They set the tone, right? They're the head fish in the pilot fish school. So there's this person, her name's Aiwa Ong, O-N-G, and she came up with a similar concept, similar to Rosaldo, and she calls it flexible citizenship.
Oh.
Flexible citizenship, 1999. She wrote an entire foundation-funded book on it. This made her reputation. So it's flexible. If you break it down now, it makes about as much sense as flexible pregnancy. Right, you're either pregnant or you're not pregnant. You're either a citizen or you're a non-citizen. But by playing around with the language, Orwell calls it ingsoc. It's an old strategy. By reconceptualizing, remolding our perceptual basis, and then teaching generations of educated people that this is the way to go, then you have frozen any sort of discussion. And by the way, this is important. This is one of the reasons why, unlike the border agents, unlike the military, unlike growing numbers of individuals in all these important institutions, maybe even the majority of them now who are keyed in and are aware of the New World Order endgame, academia is utterly silent on this. This is the key reason, because we've already had two or three generations of undergraduates, graduate students, creating new generations of the professoria who have monopolized any sort of discussion of this. And my function here is to put this out to the general public, to have them understand what they're paying for as far as their tuition is concerned, for their students for their children to learn. So it's open kimono time, if you will, for here. I'm going to just open it up, full disclosure, and expose whatever I can from the inside of what the academic community has been doing to help usher in this New World Order endgame. It's a really, really crucial component. And it's so important that, as I mentioned last time, they even brought one of their top capos in, Janet Napolitano, to be the president of the University of California system in Oakland, California. So these are the two superstars in this framework. Now, there's another component, if I may change focus slightly, and that is what I alluded to earlier, and that's the GLBT agenda, gay, lesbian, bisexual, transsexual. And it has nothing to do with preserving the rights, the dignity of any of these groups. This is just simply another power block that is being exploited by the Rockefeller Foundation, Soros, and whoever else that gives them money. Private corporations, you name it. It's a synthetically created, installed power block that already is in place, by the way. I've talked to other colleagues, and the upper-level administration is already stocked with individuals like this. And the reason being is that if you criticize any aspect of the curriculum, any of the superstars within the university system, or even trivial points like banning smoking on the campus entirely, even in your own car, then automatically you become a homophobe. And no one wants to be stigmatized or labeled as being anti-human or homophobic or racist, whatever it is. So that's the second phase. The first part was with putting in a person of color in presidency and saying, oh, well, you can't criticize them, otherwise you're a racist. So the GLBT agenda is installed. It's very much an extension of what is referred to in this critical community as cultural Marxism. But again, cultural Marxism is an outdated phrase. It's fighting the last war. And just briefly, let me, like I did in the case of Rosaldo and Ong, identify three GLBT academic superstars that your viewers should be aware of. And they have had a huge, huge, huge impact on how the educated middle class, including its professionals, its attorneys, its physicians, its people in the sciences, they've had a huge impact, and there's very little discussion of these people in the larger society.
Professor, get into them. This is critical information.
Great. There's this one individual, her and him, because she goes by a dual gender identity. She goes by Jack/Judith Halberstam. She's at the University of Southern California, USC. or as we refer to it, the University of Spoiled Children. And she wrote a classic text called Female Masculinity, 1998. Talk about Baphomet, female masculinity. And she's talking about how gender roles are artificial, they're social constructions, and she lives her life and as a man/woman. If you want to look up her photos online, you can see what I mean. But so she's a key superstar. She has an endowed chair at the University of California. This is how they reward them. And again, this is nothing about being a transgender, transsexual, or being queer. It has nothing, very little to do with it. The second person is at the University of California, Berkeley. Her name's Judith Butler. She's famous for the incomprehensibility of her really arcane and abstruse writings. But her contribution is 1990. It's called Gender Trouble. And again, her attack is on these notions of man, of woman, of female, and male. This is the cultural assault on gender, on really on humanity, because they call it transhumanism or transsexualism, but it's really post-sexuality, post-humanism, where the state, after this point, takes control of reproduction and of sexuality in general.
And for those that don't know, just to back you up, I mean, Huxley, yeah, his brother, ran the UN program, was the founder of the transhumanist movement. You have the pop transhumanism that sounds nice, but internally, it's Brave New World. They pick your sex. You go into puberty when you're 5. You're a drone. You're programmed. So they use the civil rights movement saying, let's be nice to people that are naturally this way or you know, have this right proclivity or nice people, and let's hype it and then make it where people have to do what we want, because it's an engine pulling a whole political train that is a post-human world, and that's in all their text. They're not even hiding that, but then they know that the average person isn't aware of this. It's just like the chemicals in the food and water with the frogs, you know, now having, quote, gender trouble. It's not that we're homophobic against gay frogs. They're not gay frogs, folks, like, you know, some Romans were, you know, one way or the other. The point is, that's always gone on. It is an artificiality being projected for an end of humanity scenario. That's their words, not ours. And I know you've studied it, so get into it.
That's precisely it. I mean, it's interesting that you picked up on the biochemical and the science behind this, because they are doing, in the humanities and the social science, what they're doing is providing cover for the re-engineering of the human endowment, male and female, through biochemical re-engineering through the BPA. You talk about it constantly in your program, and your guests speak to it, to these issues. But they're normalizing, through their teaching, they are normalizing this post-human transgender reality that is a part of a biological programming that was announced in public by people like Aldous Huxley. It comes from the same branch. This is the most recent bud, the green bud of this eugenics tree that has been growing and growing since the time, at least, of Huxley. The third person, okay, we have Judith Butler, we've just finished up with here. The third person in this triumvirate is Eve Kosofsky Sedgwick, deceased. She was at Duke University, which was one of the capitals of quote-unquote literary theory, which is part of this, by the way. Maybe I can get into this later on. There was something called theory, with a capital T, that was imported from Europe in order to, neutralize any sort of political dissent or awareness that was coming out of the humanities, largely out of the anti-Vietnam War organization. So they brought in something from overseas, and Yale and places like Duke were instrumental in bringing this in. So her name is Sedgwick, D.C. She was at Duke University, made out of family tobacco money, you know, the Duke fortune. And then she wound up at the CUNY Graduate Center, City University of New York. And she is one of the kingpins, or queenpins, rather, of queer theory. And her classic text is was published in 1990. And the title there is The Epistemology of the Closet. Right. The epistemology, this is the philosophical underpinnings of what later became queer theory, which, again, is, I mean, they view it as a standalone, but really it's an adjunct to this larger eugenics re-engineering of the human species to move us into the post-human world. This is how it works. It's very subtle. It's incremental. It's part of this larger strategy of transformation. Of course, there'll be no resistance because there are no more men. And toward that end, I wanted to talk briefly about the Elliot Rodger situation. And out of respect to his family and to the victims, I won't go into the specifics of that scenario. I just want to, I'm putting his name out there as being emblematic of what is happening at major institutions, as well as liberal arts colleges, community colleges all over the country. It's probably happening in Europe, Western Europe. It's happening in Japan. But you're seeing larger and larger numbers of male students who fit the Elliot Rodger prototype. They have severe gender confusion. Sometimes it's referred to as gender dysphoria. They're obsessed about it. They've been on psychotropics most of their life, and now they're being dosed heavily by these gender-bending hormones. And the university, instead of addressing these issues, because they manufacture these gender-bending hormones, because they are an adjunct of the pharmaceutical combine, they instead have put together university student services and counseling services to help serve as sort of the mission control therapeutic center to normalize this transformation. This is
all right, we'll be right back. Just like with breast cancer exploding because of the glyphosates, they make it about let's find a cure instead of finding out why it's exploding. They control the movement.
A 30-day GMO-free emergency food supply for only $99 at 30dayfoodsupply.com. You can purchase Oregon Trail Foods' one-month supply of high-quality, nutritious, and healthy emergency meals. For less than $100, these vegetarian meals are naturally high in fiber, carbs, and protein, and they're packed with oxygen absorbers in Mylar pouches. They're completely free of any artificial flavors and colorings, have a 20-year shelf life, and take up to 70% less space than number 10 cans. They even offer a gluten-free option. Oregon Trail Foods and 30dayfoodsupply.com keep prices low by buying directly from the producers in Oregon and then passing the savings to you. Purchase a 30-day 90-serving emergency food supply for only $99 this month and $10 ships your entire order. Visit the website at 30dayfoodsupply.com or call 541-229-0010. That's 30dayfoodsupply.com where they make preparedness affordable. 30dayfoodsupply.com.
In the U.S., one in every 50 homes will have a break-in this year. Burglars call it smash and grab. Police call it robbery. We call it avoidable. We are Fake TV, a simple electronic device that can fool even professional burglars. Fake TV easily plugs into any outlet and simulates the changing colors of a television. To a burglar, it looks like someone must be home watching TV, so they'll likely move on to an easier target. At only $29.95, Fake TV costs less than a month of most alarm monitoring plans and comes with free shipping. Order your Fake TV by calling 877-5-FAKE-TV or go to faketv.com. That's 877-532-5388 or faketv.com. Fake TV, the burglar deterrent.
American gardeners and fellow patriots, make the right choice with your money, time, and your family food supply. Choose 100% pure heirloom seeds in the Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com. Why spend more? The Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com is only $37.95 and includes 20 varieties of pure, hardy, easy-to-grow heirloom seeds. Yes, only $37.95. That's 70% less than our competitors. You could buy three Survival Seed Vaults for less than one of theirs. The Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com includes detailed planting and seed-saving instructions and ships same day. Plus, all orders over $49 ship free. MyPatriotSupply.com is American-owned by patriots like you, passionate about freedom and preparedness. Call now, 866-229-0927. That's 866-229-0927. Or discover more emergency preparedness items when you order at MyPatriotSupply.com. Choose the original. Choose the Survival Seed Vault at MyPatriotSupply.com.
Thank you.
bottom line, there is a public agenda to end human fertility and to reprogram the population in preparation to phase out most of the population. And there are arguments to reduce the population out there, and there's a lot of problems with humanity. But there's the artificiality of trying to make us failures so that we can be controlled and dealt with more easily and removed by an elite who I see as at the bottom of the barrel for humanity. And that's where I leave it. It's just that as the infertility spikes, next it'll be, why are you against people that have infertility? They're in their own group now, too. So I've seen how the very groups behind so much of this will then manage the crises they've helped create, as the professor was just saying, and then they've dumbed the public down to just bleeding names like Double Plus Good, where there's not even a discussion of anything. It's just, you're a racist, or you're a blah, blah, blah. Well, meanwhile, all the real racism and stuff gets ignored. It really is a dumbing down. It's very dangerous. We'll have to have you back again soon, Professor. We're almost out of time. Got 3 or 4 minutes. Go ahead and finish up. Put bookends on what you've said so far today. And I hope you'll come back and premiere your back-to-school special here in the next 2-3 weeks on air with us.
I'd love to come back and roll that one out for the benefit of the University of California. Yes, we're heading in the name of queer theory and JLBT rights, which we all believe in, is sort of a civil protections, right, for anybody, for any individual of any orientation. In that guise, though, what's happening is that the end game of post-sexuality is slowly being realized. This is the goal, as you have spoken to it in your own documentary, Endgame. This helps realize this dream of authoritarians from Plato all the way to Darwin, and that is elite control of human reproduction. So hopefully today I just gave you a little bit of insight, a little bit of behind-the-scenes insight on how this is orchestrated in the academic curriculum and how generations of educated Americans and Western Europeans and overseas as well are being infused with this New World Order humanistic outlook, which is really anti-human.
What do your colleagues say? Because I mean, they're smart. They all know this stuff's in the mainline literature. At the technocrat level, it's not hidden. I mean, what do they say to you?
When they speak to me, they look at me askance, and I think that most of my opposition comes from my immediate colleagues, because they've been bought off into it. They're smart, intelligent people, but like any other institution, the reigning operational philosophy is go along to get along. And this is true for academia, which is ironic, because supposedly we're here in order to blaze new trails and come up with new insights and information so that we could help move our civilization a little bit further along here. But that doesn't work that way in practice.
Well, there's the paradox. They're in their ivory towers, scared of you, but out in the open, what you're saying, you know, really, people have been supportive. And so I think that's what the disconnect is. I don't think this overall program is going to go the way the technocrats thought.
I don't believe so. That's why I'm going outside the tower. I'm going over their heads and going directly to the public. And I thank you for the opportunity to reach such large numbers of people, because this is how we are going to erode the foundations of this artificial ivory tower of Babel that has been erected. It's very, very vulnerable, and I'd like to leave on an optimistic note. The educated middle class historically around the world has never been larger, and that's why their control system, their Snoop systems, their IT, the NSA, that's why they're going to fail, because our intelligence and our will is far, far greater than theirs.
And that's not hyper a pep talk. It's true. That's why they're trying to move so quick right now, because they know they're in trouble. The human desire for true freedom is much stronger than their desire to control and dominate us. Professor, thank you so much for the time. Professor Hamamoto, I'm coming back in overdrive. Thank you.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Hi, I'm Dr. Edward Groot. It took me 20 years of searching the globe to find the deposit of the highest purity iodine available. The new Survival Shield X2 is mined from 7 to 10,000 feet below the Earth in pristine, environmentally clean conditions. The iodine crystals we use are extracted from an ancient 300 million plus year old deposit deep in the Earth. It's the strongest nascent iodine on the market today. It delivers 650 micrograms per drop. Experience the new formula. Experience the ancient purity. Shield your family. Survival Shield X2, available now at InfoWarsLife.com.
X2 from InfoWarsLife.com or call toll free 888-253-3139.